been a long day. Grab a beer and sit back. It's time for Brew Talk. Here's Scott, Chad, and the Brew Doctor himself, Dr. Michael Mosier.
Happy Brews Day, everyone. It is Tuesday. It's time to crack a beer. It's time to talk brew. And here we are. How are we doing, everybody?
Oh, we're doing great.
I'm still jealous that I don't have a cool title like the Brew Doctor.
I know. That'd be kind of cool to have that, wouldn't it? Yeah. You could be the, I don't know.
Maybe well, I can.
I don't know what my title would be, but.
It is available for licensing if you wish to have it.
Patent pending.
You too could hire the Brew Doctor for your party, bar mitzvah, or any other corporate event.
Oh,
contact
goodness.
Him at rule105.com.
I love it.
But no, it's been a great week so far.
Yeah.
I mean, we're only two days in. And it's time for a beer, for
it's
sure.
It's time right? for beer. Well, speaking of time for beer.
Cheers.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Clink.
Appreciate it. Clink, clink. Yep. So what are we drinking this morning? What's our this afternoon? My gosh.
That's right.
Maybe you're just getting up. It might
Maybe
be
I
morning,
am. I don't know.
Well, this is the Taddy Bogler Scottish Ale from Rule 105. It's a dark, malty, kind of easy drinking kind of beer, I think. A little bit higher in the alcohol range, so just watch yourselves and we'll have a good time.
I like it.
That's kind of typical of Scottish ales.
Scottish ales.
A little higher?
Yeah, they can be, at least the ones that everybody likes to make. I suppose you could go with a really lighter alcohol, like a 40 shilling or a 60 shilling or
sure.
something like that. But, you know, like the 90 shilling is, much higher alcohol than like a 60 shilling.
So 40 shilling, 60 and 90. What is that?
That was how much it cost for a barrel of the beer when the style was put together.
Gotcha.
And now we're past the shillings part.
Right.
It kind of correlates a little bit to the alcohol level that's involved in it too.
So now that the pound is closer to the dollar, what's the conversion rate?
What's the conversion rate?
Whatever.
So this would probably be in those days probably called something like a 120 shilling.
Oh, very nice. So, I like it. It's good.
It's good. And it is better than what I even thought it would be. I love being able to do the show with you guys because I get exposed to a lot of beers that I normally wouldn't, and I'm finding I'm enjoying more and more of them.
Well, you know how you all say that you have your favorite beers?
Yep.
One of my favorites has always been 90 Shilling.
Yeah, agreed.
And that is a wonderful Scottish ale, American Scottish ale.
Yes,
and
yes.
It really works well. Ours is a little bit more roasty, a little bit more malty than the 90 Shilling, but we're still on the same spectrum there.
Well, 90 Shilling is one of those that have been around forever that I think a lot of people know and understand that the type of beer that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, just take that beer and just ramp it up a little notch and think you've got this one.
And then you've got this one, for sure.
So, Chad, what would you serve food-wise to pair with this beer?
So this is, Scottish ales are great for the fall when you're eating a little heavier. So, off of our menu, this would be great, I think, with our cottage pie.
Oh, yeah.
Fish and chips, I think, is another great pairing if you want something a little fishier or lighter fare, I guess. But I think a stew or a steak or something just a little heartier, which is the way people tend to eat as the weather kind of cools down and fall is in the air for sure.
Yeah, if we had any haggis around, that might go well with this too, right?
There we go. Yeah,
people are scared of haggis.
I know. Though. I don't know why.
I think the...
Well, I know why.
Yeah.
It's mostly oatmeal.
It's mostly oatmeal,
It's mostly oatmeal with just a little bit of other stuff thrown in there.
That's true.
Scares everybody. So, well, and we've had... We're now in October, which we talked a few weeks ago about the benefit of, hey, it's September, and now it's Oktoberfest, and now it's October, and we're winding that down. We have the Great American Beer Festival coming up this weekend, and so there's a ton of things building up to that. But in the last couple of weeks, we had some great events, too. And so,
Even
locally.
there's been an awful lot of festivals, and we're winding up the festival season. So even the Greeley Oktoberfest, if you got a chance to go to it, wow, what an event, huh?
That was a lot of fun. I had a blast at it.
It was a great event.
The music was amazing. And, of course, we had so many different styles of food and beer and different things to do. It was just a wonderful event.
Yeah. So question for you guys both. Was there something that you tried, you had, you tasted, you experienced at the October Brewfest? I need to make sure I say that right. That you weren't expecting or was a great surprise out of nowhere?
Well, this year I didn't get to go to the VIP tasting, which I normally do. Yes. Shame on me. Schedules just didn't work out that way. I actually went Friday night. Still had a blast. Had a great time. But Friday night, I don't think there was a whole lot that surprised me. There was, I think, Crabtree was doing some kind of spiced rim.
Oh, yeah.
On one of their, was it their pumpkin beer?
I think it was their pumpkin beer.
And that I think a lot of people really enjoyed that I didn't actually get to get over and try. Number one, I'm not a big pumpkin beer person. It's not one of my favorite styles, so I probably wouldn't order that anyway. But it seems like a lot of people were really excited about that.
It was a great idea, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
When you eat pumpkin pie, what's at the bottom of your pumpkin pie? There's a graham cracker crust, right?
Sure.
So why not put graham crackers and other stuff on the rim of your glass so that it's kind of like you're eating a pumpkin pie?
And I did notice on Crabtree's Facebook page that at the brewery now they have little packets that you can purchase that are that whatever they were doing on the rim.
Very cool.
Oh, that's
so
ingenious, unique.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you put salt on the rim of a margarita, right?
Yeah. Right. Or celery salt on the rim of a Bloody Mary.
Of a Bloody Mary. Yep. I've even seen people put sugar and stuff like that on the rims of their glasses for different drinks.
Yeah.
So why not this? It's a great idea. And
absolutely.
It actually helped elevate the flavor. I actually did try that beer, and it was a wonderful beer.
That's great.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chad. I'm not a big, you know, pumpkin fan. You know, the pumpkin spice latte, you know, craze that happens this time of year is always crazy. And so
we kind of talked when the week you were gone, Doc and I kind of talked a little bit about pumpkin beers and I almost brought a pumpkin beer to taste tonight, but then I thought, no, I'm not going to do that because you know what? I'm not going to enjoy it anyway. So why would I do that to myself?
Remember we were talking it, there's about a week, maybe 2 week time period in the entire year when people will order those.
Yeah.
And so that happens around Halloween.
Yep.
So we're a little early still, I think, for pumpkin beers. So
now don't you think though that trends all the way through at least Thanksgiving and sometimes into Christmas, or do you see that
from a sales point of view at a bar?
Yeah.
Nope.
Really?
You would think, no.
1 year, and I think we might have talked about this, Doc, at the tavern, we brought on 6 pumpkin beers, just kind of as a mini tap takeover and kind of thing. After Halloween, we were sitting on pumpkin beer and couldn't give it away.
Wow.
We were trying to, we brought it down to like a dollar a beer, just trying to give it away, and it was tough.
Yeah, and that just doesn't make sense to me because it's, you know, obviously you've got the jack-o'-lanterns with Halloween, but then, come on, Thanksgiving, you know, you've got
pumpkin
pie. I mean, you know.
I mean, there's still those people that love the pumpkin pie spiced lattes year-round and that would probably still order that kind of a beer year-round, but for the most part, beer drinkers don't go beyond that. Ooh, that was nice to have. Yeah. That was my one taste for the year. I can wait till next year for it again. Just like an Oktoberfest beer.
Well, and it's weird to me that you start seeing pumpkin beers in August now because the breweries are just trying to get it out there before, you know, that deadline of Halloween, I think.
Wow, that is really
And then good. Once Halloween hits, you start seeing, like, the Christmas and the holiday.
Yeah, you'll see the holiday ales. Beers or the Christmas beers or the winter warmers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And those will last until about January, and then they'll go away.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. It's almost like, you know, at Walmart and Target when they start putting Christmas stuff out in
Holy cow.
August or
September.
I was
at Home Depot the other day and the Christmas stuff's already out.
Yeah.
It's October
2nd. I know, it's
2nd.
October.
It's like, come on, Christmas, wait your turn. You know, everybody
There's two more holidays
to go. You're like gapping in between them. That's just not fair. I think we should.
I saw someone with Christmas lights already up.
Well, some people need to start this early.
I guess if you do those huge displays, maybe you do start this early.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't have time to vandalize your house yet.
We just want to go on record that the opinions and views of Michael Kilpatrick do not necessarily represent those of the station or its hosts.
The jokes of Micah Kilpatrick.
It's Micah Kilpatrick at KFK.com.
The waxing and waning of Micah Kilpatrick. So, well, one thing I was going to talk to you guys about, and I'm going to go to break, and then we'll talk about it when we come back, because then you can marinate on this a little bit, but October 4th is International Taco Day.
Taco.
So we're going to talk about tacos, and it's Taco Tuesday. I mean,
even.
How better can you get that? So we're going to talk about your favorite tacos and then your favorite taco beer pairing and how those go together and what you do with that. So when we get back, we're going to talk beer and tacos. So stick around.
You know what it is? It's Taco Tuesday!
Welcome back, coming to you live from the Allo Communications Studios in downtown Greeley. This is Brute Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA, Northern Colorado's voice. And yes, it is Taco Tuesday on International Taco Day. So,
yeah, this is something we talk about a lot at the brewery.
Oh.
I do have a few of our bartenders are Hispanic, and they love their tacos. So we all get to talk about which tacos we think are the best and, you know, what are we missing today? What should we have today? So, you know, shout out to Drea and, you know, Jaime and the rest of the crew.
Nice.
They know exactly what they're talking about. So.
Well, then what do they tell you?
They all tell me about street tacos, and they're the best kind of tacos you can have. And then everybody disagrees on what they think should be the best ingredient. But the majority of the people seem to think that lengua is probably the best taco.
I would agree
100%. With that.
100%. That's my favorite.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and if we were like on TV, everybody would be seeing the blank look on my face going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Beef tongue.
All right then.
And you would think it would not taste good.
But it tastes good.
Oh my goodness, it's fantastic.
It's really a pain in the butt to prepare because you have to kind of boil it and peel the taste buds and all that off. But
it's kind
once
of gross.
You get it prepared, it's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you guys are trying to get me to just like,
No.
I'm just kidding.
There are plenty of stores here in town, too, that will sell just the chopped up meat that you could use for your tacos.
Yeah.
So that's a great way to get exposed to a whole bunch of different kinds of street tacos.
That's fantastic.
But lengua tacos, best.
Gotcha. All right. So then, since this is Brute Talk, and we do talk about beer on this show on occasion, then what beer do you pair with said street tacos?
I'm going to let Chad go first, but I have a good idea.
So I think a lot of people would automatically go to a Mexican lager, like a Dos Equis, a Corona, a
Negra
Tecate,
Modelo, or
Pacifico, Modelo. Something like that.
Yeah. But I think there's a lot of ways you could go. And I think a lot of it kind of depends on what the salsas or the accompaniments on said taco are.
Mm-hmm. Would you say accoutrements?
Accoutrements. I would, but that'd be French and not Mexican or Spanish.
We are very diverse on this show. We talk all sorts of languages that we don't really speak.
You throw some nice pico de gallo on there, and then now let's go with the beer that works with it. For me, it's going to be a Modelo.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be that, just like Chad mentioned. It could be something that's outside the norm. Depends upon what's inside your taco.
So I think if something like a lengua taco or a mole taco, the Teddy Bogler here, I think would be a great pairing.
A nice Scottish ale.
So if somebody were listening right now and we're thinking, I'm in the mood for tacos and I want a beer to go with it, we've just given them the perfect combination.
I think so, too. Now, it depends upon the taco. If I'm doing a chicken taco.
Or a fish taco.
I'm not going to go this route. I'm going to go something a little lighter.
Yep.
But I would even think like an Irish red might go quite well with a nice taco because they're dry.
Absolutely.
It's something that finishes kind of dry, and that would really lend itself well to a meat taco.
Now, not too long ago, when I say not too long ago, it was probably 3 or 4 years ago. I believe it was National Taco Day. I took a group of my staff over to Verboten Brewery, and they did a taco and beer pairing with a taco truck they had out front.
Oh, nice.
And so there was 4 different tacos and 4 different beers, and you could pick from a variety of tacos what your 4 tacos were, and based on what you picked, they paired a different beer with it.
Interesting.
So they had, I think they had something dark. I believe it was their
Kentucky Common or...
Yeah, the Angry Banjo.
Angry Banjo. Mm-hmm.
They had a Lime Goza, I think, which was one of the pairings that I remember.
How that would work.
Yep.
They had a wheat, and then they had, I believe they had an IPA out there too, if I remember correctly. It was a long time ago and a lot of beers ago, but...
It was BC.
It was,
Before COVID.
Before COVID, for sure. But what a great event.
Yeah, that does sound like a great event, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, it just varies on what your taco is, what your taste in beer are. You know, maybe you're not a Lime Goza kind of guy or person.
But you might be
if you taste it with the food.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
go ahead.
I could totally see how a Lime Goza, so salty, sour, and lime all together at once, would go really well with certain kinds of street tacos.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm talking street tacos, not the kind that you might get like in a sit-down restaurant that are the big, gigantic tacos.
No, I know what you mean.
All the stuff inside them.
Yeah.
No, just, plop, 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 and now eat it.
Yep.
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
The 3-inch tortilla or 4-inch tortilla, and you've just got those in there. And
it's just sitting in your hand, and you just...
Those are fantastic.
A month ago, I learned something. Most of your street tacos have the 2 little corn tortillas.
Yes.
You're supposed to eat the original first bites with just the one, and the second tortilla is for whatever falls out while you're eating it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I had no idea.
So you were rolling up in both.
I was just
you're doubling
eating
up
the whole
on the
thing, and then with my fingers eating whatever fell out.
That works too.
It does.
I love how we learn stuff on this show.
Isn't it cool?
Educated so many listeners on how to properly eat street tacos.
Tortilla is for all your droppings.
Now, when I took a tour in Mexico City, there were all these street vendors, and they were all selling street tacos there on the side, and they said if you want the best lunch in town, go to one of those places.
Yeah, absolutely,
because they know how to make them right. They are street tacos. They're on the street,
and
the only reason why they're still serving them is because they're good.
Yeah,
you know, if they weren't good, nobody would go to them.
Right. One of the best meals I ever had in Mexico, but includes all the all inclusive resorts, was one of the street tacos, and it was. These people that just came and roast pork. They started in the middle of the night. They roast pork, and when the stand opens, they start selling their tacos. And when it's gone, it's gone.
And that's probably the best kind of meat in the world is roast pork.
And it's cheap, and it's good, and it's of all the meals I've had, that was probably the best I've had in Mexico for sure.
It's always fun how you can take food, just like we talked about even, you know, before, you pair that with a beer.
Absolutely.
And how it changes the dynamic of the food and your experience in a beer. You know, Doc, you mentioned it. Maybe a beer that you don't really like, but it goes so well with the food that it just makes perfect sense that by its own, you might not want that beer, but with that food, it's like perfect.
Right. It's like, you know, like I know a lot of people that don't like lemon custard desserts.
Mm-hmm.
But if you pair that with an IPA... Might change your mind.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we see at a lot of our beer pairing dinners is, you know, somebody might not necessarily be an IPA fan, but when we pair it with a certain dish, you know, we say, first try the beer by itself.
Yep.
And then we say, now try the food. Now try the food and then the beer and see what you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then people, a lot of times, will change their mind and like, I never thought I'd drink an IPA, but I'm really enjoying this.
Yep.
I never thought I'd enjoy a Scottish ale, but I'm really enjoying this.
Yeah, it's like that scene out of Ratatouille where you try one piece of food by itself and you get one kind of sparkle, one kind of food by itself, and you get a different kind of sparkle. You put them together and you get a third sparkle that wasn't there before.
Yeah.
Look at Doc pulling out a Disney Ratatouille reference.
Oh, one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's a great movie. It's a lot of fun.
Great movie.
Brilliant movie.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. So...
So we got to find out what's your favorite taco.
So I am a steak guy. So, you know, a steak or a carne asada, that is absolutely going to be where I go, whether it's, you know, street tacos. But every once in a while, I just get a hankering for an old-fashioned, you know, just a crunchy taco.
Oh. I agree with you.
Yeah, there's just those moments. And it might have been I've had a few beers already and I'm like in that mode, but it's like, you know, there's nothing like a, you know, a six pack of tacos from Del Taco on your way home where you want, you know, just the ground beef tacos.
My follow up question was, do you actually stop at Taco Bell or Del Taco and get those crunchy tortillas?
I have done
those tacos. And
I don't think I've ever eaten a taco from Del Taco.
Well, and I'm not here to endorse or talk against, but I'm going to have
it every once in a while. You know, you just got to stop.
You kind of get that mode where you're like, I want a few crunchy tacos that I can just throw down and do that, and that's enjoyable. But I think if you're going to do a sit-down meal, then, yeah, the street tacos is absolutely the way to go and the different elements. And I love pickled vegetables with them.
Agreed.
Oh, my gosh.
Agreed.
I have never tried that.
Yeah. So you get pickled like onions and
pickled
peppers.
Pickled onions,
and
I think, are probably
jalapenos.
One of the best things.
To put on your taco.
To put on
carrots,
taco.
Yeah.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. It's a great.
Never tried that.
Great combination. They're just, they add a, you know, kind of a brightness. I can't think of a better term for it, but
no,
it's just a great thing.
And it's a simple pickle. It's like lime juice, a little bit of salt, garlic,
so you make your
cilantro,
own, like,
and
put the onion strings in the pickle juice, and then you take them out of there.
So it works the best with like a sweeter onion, so like a red onion.
Okay,
You know, you just slice them real thin, squeeze a little lime juice, a little salt, garlic, and a little bit of cilantro,
and you let them set for a little bit.
Let them set maybe half an hour, 20 minutes is all it takes. The longer it sits, the more limey it gets, but. Absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, I think it's a real good add. And again, it changes the flavor and the complexity of the taco.
I mean, I do like pickles with my barbecue.
There you go.
So,
Well, I think it's the same kind of
deal.
Kind of concept.
I'll be
definitely
tired.
Is. No, it's all good stuff. So, well, we're going to have to, we've got a beer that we've got to review here in the next segment. So just ever so quickly, before we get there, we also have to talk about Beer Fest, which is coming up this weekend. We wanted to talk strategy. So real quick, before we go to break, what is your strategy, Doc, for the GABF on Saturday?
So my strategy is not to try to drink every drop of beer that I'm given.
That's a good idea.
Okay. So you get a one-ounce pour.
Yep.
The most I've ever had in 4 hours is 92 samples. However, I did not drink 92
swallow.
Ounces of beer.
No, I get you it. Don't swallow 92.
Right. You taste it, and then if it's okay, then you can make notes about it. If it's not okay, you can make notes about that. If it's amazing, I might drink the rest of the ounce.
Yeah.
If it's not, it's going to go in a dump bucket because I'm going on to the next beer.
That's great.
So I just basically use that as sort of like go around and explore and find the beers that I think are really great. And now I know some beers that I can go out there into the liquor store and say, hey, do you got this one on?
Yeah.
You know, I'd really like to have this one.
Chad, how about you?
So I think my strategy is going to be to kind of look at the list of breweries that are available and kind of find the ones that I don't get to see all the time.
Yep.
So we live in Colorado. We're blessed with tons of great breweries here in town. I might not necessarily hit all the Colorado breweries that are at the Great American Beer Fest. I'm probably going to go to breweries that I don't get to see all the time. So something from California or South Carolina or Michigan or Texas or wherever they're from, just to try something a little different.
And you stay away from national brands, or do you stick with them too? Well,
not necessarily. If there's something that's a national brand that I really want to try, I might head that way. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
like
Dogfish
Cigar
Head.
City.
Cigar City. Mm-hmm. Dogfish Head is a big name that they have some great beers that I really enjoy. So if they're pouring something that I like, I'm probably going to head over there and probably give them a taste.
But. Nice. All right. Now, here's the real serious question. Pretzel Necklace.
Oh, of course.
Are you making your own?
Of course.
Okay.
They don't take any time at all.
No, they do not. And I.
But that way you have something to munch on, because don't forget, you're drinking beer.
You are.
And you could stop at the food vendors while you're there, but the food vendor line might be long enough that it cuts down on how many different things you could look at or try or walk to or see. So
it pays to be prepared.
Pretzel necklace is a good thing.
And I have heard, rumor has it, that if it's on your necklace, that you can take it in with you, so that the pretzel may not necessarily be the only element that you have on your necklace.
In the past,
Can I fit a bottle of Jameson around my necklace?
I think if you tie it on, you might be able to get away with it. I don't know.
But things like beef jerky sticks that are still in their package.
Yes. Yep.
You know, candy or something like that you could put there. But let's face it, those are things that aren't going to help soak up the beer.
No.
You want pretzels and bread and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I did see one time somebody had a sandwich from a submarine sandwich from a local store tied to his necklace, and they let him in with it.
So next question on the pretzel necklace. Are you going with the small bagged, you know,
I like the
pretzels,
kind that
or are you going with the larger?
I like the kind that are one bite to break it off the necklace and the other bite to eat it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So two bites.
I'm a rolled gold pretzel kind of guy.
Sure. Yep.
So that's usually where I go with.
Yep.
Having a hard time finding the larger ones as of late. You know, had to go with the smaller ones, but.
So you've already got your necklace made.
I don't have my necklace made, but I made one earlier this year. Well, for the NoCo Brew Fest. I mean, I went as a veteran, man. I had my pretzel necklace. We were ready to go. I like to say I've been making pretzel necklaces since the late 90s.
Nice.
See, and I'm a pretzel necklace novice. I've never made a pretzel necklace.
Oh. So.
It's easy.
Well,
yeah,
you know,
just
and
find
the fact
a hole
that,
and just put the string through the hole. And
Normally, in my group, you wouldn't get one until you've gone to the beer fest the first time. That was kind of your rite of passage.
Gotcha.
First time you had to go naked, and then after that you went a pretzel necklace, and we would make a bunch of them.
Do you get like the thing that ties the glass to your hand so you don't accidentally drop it?
No, I have not, but also have used the pretzel necklace as an opportunity to make sure that that is the case.
Yes.
And gone are the days when it used to be a glass taster.
Oh, is it not glass anymore?
No, they're plastic. They've been plastic. Bummer. But I remember the days when it was a glass taster, and you would drop it on the floor.
And
I never dropped
one. The crowd would erupt.
And the whole crowd erupts, and they go crazy.
And then you
had
to go get your plastic.
You got to go get a new one, and we made fun of them. And it just is – that type of element has sort of waned from the experience, but it was so much fun.
Yes, it was.
But there will still be roars and cheers and scoffing of people who drop their tasters. So, well, we're late for a break. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to check on the beer that we are going to be reviewing in the third segment. So make sure you come back and listen to the rest of the show. We'll see you in a few. Welcome back. And guess what? It's time to taste and review a beer that's different than our table beer. Mm. So we have Chad. You want to walk this one in for us?
So this is from Dry Dock Brewing. This is their infamous sour apricot beer. This is kind of the beer that made the brewery. So this has been their flagship for a really long time. This is the one that most people know of when they think of Dry Dock. And sour blonde, 5% ABV. And we'll see what everybody thinks.
All right.
Yeah, interesting. Now, I know Dry Dock also does an apricot wheat, too.
They do.
Don't they?
So maybe that's the one that was there. Is that their flagship?
I don't know. I'm just thinking that if they've done another apricot beer, they probably know what they're doing with apricots.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I know that early on, probably 6-7 years ago, I was a huge fan of their Hefeweizen. And that one, I don't know if they're still making it anymore. Mm-hmm. It may be limited, but used to be able to find it in liquor stores. Can't find it anymore. And I will look about every two or three times I'm in, and I've seen some of the other ones that they've done. So I don't know if it's the sour or the wheat.
I know a few years ago they did a big rebranding where they kind of cut back some of the beers they were making and just concentrated on a few.
Sure. It makes sense to do that. You know, stick with your strengths.
Yeah.
So I will tell you this. I do enjoy the artwork on the front, which is kind of
unique. It's great.
Yeah. And that's with all of their beers. I've noticed that they've really stuck with this kind of like this old Sea Voyage kind of imagery that they've done, which I think is wonderful from a branding perspective.
And it's this really one, this can has a mermaid, but not the little mermaid, Ariel mermaid you would think of.
Yeah, this looks like a mermaid who you wouldn't want to meet in an alley.
Right, yeah. That's probably
is that a good way to say
probably
it?
Tougher than you are.
I don't know. I think that's one of those. It's a mermaid that's like, definitely not Ariel. But you know, this might be one of those mermaids. It's like, you know, you want to go and putz around with crabs that sing and everything else. You go there. You want to go and enjoy your evening and have a time that you may not have ever had before. Come with me.
Come with us.
There you
go. There you go. I like that.
Yeah,
I like
that's that what I'm seeing out of it, and it's not a mean one, but.
I do smell the same thing you guys are smelling. It's a very mild apricot aroma with a little bit of sour notes in the aroma. Not really a strong apricot on the nose.
You're right.
But
as soon as you sip,
that all changes quite a bit.
That's a big apricot flavor right there.
Mm, wow.
It's over the top apricot.
Yeah, and not near as sour as I anticipated.
Yeah.
It's more like if you're eating straight apricots, kind of sour.
Yeah, it's like a maybe not a completely ripe version of an apricot.
Correct. Yeah.
So not a sour, not like an apricot
like
that's raw.
You're gonna pucker and
right. Although that first sip, it does really catch you in the salivary glands.
Yeah, I wish we would have been on air when you took your first sip.
Yeah, my first sip.
The vocal response that you had to that was pretty good. But you know the thing that I like about it is. So my son, Cody, loves sour beers, and I really think he just tries to find the most sour beer on the planet, and that's what he tries, and he enjoys it. And he knows that I'm not a huge fan of that, but I like this one. And so I'm curious. I want to have him try it and see what does he think about it, because it's sour, but it's not overly sour.
It's agreeing with me more, and I've always said, never make a decision about a beer on your first sip.
Yep.
You've got to give it at least three, and there's got to be some time in between each one of those to get your taste buds to acclimate to the beer. I mean, there are brewers who spend an awful lot of time trying to come up with this, so let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, especially when we're making a switch from the Scottish Ale to this beer is completely different.
Right.
So that's kind of a big
right. Our
switch.
Taste buds need to get cleaned out. And
I think like we've all taken a few sips of water actually to kind of cleanse that palate. To
scrape off the taste buds off of the tongue that you're going to put in your street taco and then try again.
So. There you go.
So, yeah, I like it.
I like this a lot. Yeah.
This is interesting. Very nice.
I like the fact that the nose is not overwhelming. Because like you talked about, you smell a little bit of that.
But I'd like it to be
notes.
A little bit more in agreement with the flavor.
Interesting.
I mean, it is in agreement. I mean, they're on the same plane. But the nose is kind of making you think, oh, it's subtle. And then you taste it, and it's like, no, it's not subtle.
Well, and see, and here's where I'd say that's similar to eating an actual apricot. Because if you take an apricot, the nose is going to be a little more subtle than when you actually take that first bite.
True.
And it's going to be...
I agree with you.
You know, the nose will be subtle, but the flavor is going to be a lot bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even if you cut them in half and you're kind of given that sniff of that raw apricot, it's like...
Yeah.
And here we are, you know, we're focusing on the apricot, but I also want to focus on that sour, too.
Yeah.
That is a very pronounced sour. It's not just something that was just sort of thought of as an afterthought to, oh, let's just make this a sour beer with apricot. Yeah. This is a sour that's very well developed. It's got it does have a little bit of pucker power, I think. And, you know, even though the beer itself is a little dry, the sour is making your mouth wet afterwards.
Yeah.
I was going to say moist, but that just sounds weird.
But you said it anyways.
I said it anyways.
It makes you salivate.
It does. It makes you it makes you want to taste it again.
So from a brewer's standpoint, how do you is this a kettle sour? Is this a sour this?
You can get kettle sours this sour.
Okay.
But this is, I don't know. I'd have to check their process to see if they kettle soured it or if they soured it a different way.
Yeah.
There are some ingredients you can add to it that'll make it sour without you having to go through the kettle sour process.
Gotcha.
So, and I'd hate to say one and have it be completely wrong.
Right.
Well, but you're allowed to speculate.
You know, I can speculate, but I'd rather talk to Dry Dock rather than have them yell at me.
So. I don't know that they would yell at you and say, that's not how we do it.
That's not how we do it, and don't say we did it that way. Well, so
Dry Dock, if you're listening, hey, let us know how you
let us know how you made that sour. That would be kind of nice to know, because that is a pleasant sour. I could see this sour going very well with a whole bunch of different fruits, too, not just apricot.
Yeah. Definitely. Okay, I mean, so we've talked about tacos. We talked about food. We did the pairing. So, Chad, what food would you pair with this sour?
Oh, that's a good question. This is something that I would go probably something pretty light, maybe a salad. I would do something featuring apricots. To kind of highlight, because to me, this just really tastes of fresh apricot.
Yeah,
it does. With the sourness and everything. So I would want something that would highlight that. And so I would add, you know, maybe an apricot jam glaze on a chicken or a salad with dried apricots in it or something similar to that. So.
See, now I was thinking the other way when you guys were talking about pickles with your food. I was thinking, okay, well, if I'm having barbecue and I have a pickle with it, could I
do a sour
apricot with a apricot smoked meat, like a pulled pork or something.
Yeah, that would actually really be good too, like some kind of barbecue. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
To kind of do the opposite, instead of highlighting, you're kind of contrasting.
Contrast, yeah.
Love it.
I love contrast.
Well, I don't know if you guys are salivating and hungry like I am right now, but if our listeners are, then that's amazing. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a few commercials, we'll pay some bills, and then we'll come back, we will rank this beer, we'll wrap up with our final thoughts, and then prepare ourselves for the GABF this weekend. So stick around, we'll be back in a few. I'd love to say two and two, like Chuck Woolery.
Chuck Woolery.
Don't think that plays, so we'll be right back. We're back to Brew Talk on 103.1 and 1310 KFK, Northern Colorado's voice.
Asia?
That was
rough. You shut your mouth. if I've ever wanted to throw a beer at somebody, it was right now, Chad.
That's awesome.
That is so good. Oh, my gosh. Oh, we lead into that music, and Doc and I are just sitting there. We're
Toto. It was Toto. You were close.
It was close.
I quit. I'm done. I'm not doing this ever again. Are you kidding me? Jeez. All right. Let's get down to the brass tacks. We're going to vote on the beer that we can. I'm so sorry. We can literally hear Micah laughing through the glass at what
thank
he
you.
Just.
Thank you for that, Chad.
Yeah. My pleasure.
Oh, my gosh. All right. So we're going to vote on this beer, and we're going to do it on the count of three. One, two, three. Oh, look at that.
Really
we have
close.
Two growlers and a keg across the board. Yeah. So, yes, hey. There it is. Brew Talk approved. So, Doc, you threw down the keg. You, tell us what you're thinking there.
So, for me, the apricot is wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's not the apricot that makes this beer for me. It's the sour
underneath.
It's
the sour underneath.
It is so well done. It is so outstanding. In its own right, it doesn't matter which fruit you put it with, it's going to be good. So the apricot is perfectly balanced. You don't get the nose, which I wish there was a little bit more nose for. But other than that, it's absolutely fabulous. So I actually enjoyed this beer quite a lot.
And see, for me, it's the apricot that kind of kept it from the keg. Because I'm not big in the fruit in beers kind of person. So I love the sourness. I love the flavor of the apricot in this beer. But just the fact that the apricot just kept it from that keg.
Interesting. See, and for me, I'm not a sour guy. So the when you brought this on board, I was like, oh, great. This is not going to be fun for me. I'm like, you guys are picking beers I'm not going to like. But I really like this one. And I think because it's sour, but it's not – it doesn't have that – pucker effect. And for people who know the nomenclature, it wasn't a nickel dime quarter kind of pucker, which I'm glad for. It was simply, that's sour, but it's not too sour. And I enjoyed it.
Yeah, for me, it was a little bit of pucker power.
Was it really?
But,
okay.
I actually really kind of like that. It wasn't over the top. It wasn't like a drinking pickle juice
kind
of thing.
Yeah.
This was a very pleasant sour. Like I say, it's the underlying beer itself that makes this beer outstanding. And you could put any fruit with it. I think I said something like blueberries or blackberries or raspberries would go really well with this.
And it's not just sour for to be sour.
It's not sour for the sake of sour, right?
That's what it is. Okay. I love the way you just said that because it isn't. It's sour, but it's sour and it makes it a good beer.
Right.
It's not sour.
Because there are beers out there, and I'm thinking specifically of Trinity's 7-Day Sour.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is, if you like sours, it's wonderful. If you don't like sours, I've heard people compare the flavor of that beer to bile. Because it's that sour.
It's that sour.
So
That's not good.
Yeah, there are beers that are like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we've even had a beer here before where we were talking about it, and it was as sour, if not more sour, than pickle juice.
Yes.
And it was... It tasted like pickle juice.
Yeah.
So
that's where you kind of get into the whole point of like, is that what you were trying to accomplish? Because if it was, well done.
They were trying to accomplish that. They did a good job.
Well, and I think so. And I think there's a specific market for, there's specific people that really like that type of sour.
Well, and think of it. If you're out sweating to death, mowing the yard or something like that, and you're just like, man, I really need something to quench this.
It's not pickle juice.
You could go for one of those super sour beers and be like, wow, that just worked.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, but I think this beer is good when you're not mowing the yard all the way to where you're mowing the yard. I mean, it doesn't matter. This beer is good.
Wow, that's, I wouldn't have thought that, but I would never think to drink a sour in order to quench a thirst after a long day in the sun.
Well, it makes your mouth get all moist again.
I think Doc is doing it intentionally. He's trying to see how many times
on the air I can say the word moist.
Hey, we're at 3, so keep going. Good. So, all right. Final thoughts before we wrap up. JPF, what's something that you're hoping to see that you have no idea you'll even find?
The Wienermobile again.
The Wienermobile again. Okay, that could be interesting.
I like that. I'm with you, Doc. The Wienermobile is a winner.
Is. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'm hoping for good chili beers. I'm always a fan for chili beers. I love when I can find a good chili beer and hoping I can run around and
a beer
find a
that just is out of the norm would be a great one.
I like
to have.
That.
Yeah. And it's also good. I mean, I think that's where we're at. So, well, if you're at GABF this weekend, come and find us on Saturday if you're a member, and stay thirsty, everyone. We'll see you soon.